J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
We'll start off with William Shatner. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy caught in a landslide? There's no escape from reality.
Willie Nelson.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies, and see.
Tom Waits.
This poor boy, I need no sympathy.
Dean Martin.
Easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Maurice Chevalier.
Anyway, the wind blow doesn't really matter to me. Not to me.
Christopher Walken.
Mama, just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Bob Dylan.
Mama, ooh, life had just begun. Oh, but now you've gone and thrown it all away.
Sting.
Mama, ooh, I didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. Another
Armstrong.
Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters but to me.
George W. Bush.
Anywhere the wind blows. Thank you.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, November 7th, 2022. The beginning of the end begins tomorrow. I've been doing the countdown for like a year. And, you know, tomorrow is the big culmination. And I've got a lot of stuff to play for you with regard to Election Day tomorrow. We'll get to all that. I got a lot of sound bites from over the weekend. A lot of stuff to play for you today. I want to get a plug in for tomorrow. Tomorrow being the election, we're going to be doing an election show special podcast. You're going to hear everything. You know, I'm digging into my archives yesterday because I basically pulled all of the stuff that I'm going to put together for the assembly of tomorrow's special. And it's just amazing what I've got because I dug back into the archives. You guys know me. I keep everything. You're going to hear comedians. You're going to hear songs. You're going to hear actual clips. You're going to hear a lot of Trump stuff, a lot of Bush stuff. Stephen Colbert, George Carlin. What else we got here? Just every Saturday Night Live. Everything. So that's our big Election Day podcast tomorrow right here at jcontheline.com. Please don't miss this. You're going to really, really have fun with this tomorrow. By the way, you've already picked up on this, I'm sure. I have a bug in my system here today. And one of the things it's doing is producing sort of it sounds like there's a fan on behind the microphone. That's problem number one. And also there is an echo effect that's coming through, and I don't know where it's coming from. I'm staring at my control board here. When this podcast is over, I'm going to have to take this whole thing apart, wiggle every wire, reconnect everything, and try to figure out what's coming from. It is not my intent to make it sound like I'm on WABC radio in New York in 1970, all right? So I'll get rid of this by tomorrow if it's distracting. I apologize. It's distracting me. Where do we start? How about vertigo? We finally go to the doctor today. They said there's some sort of thing where they put a little button or something behind your ear and your neck or something like that. It's supposed to make it go away. But I spent the entire weekend dizzy. It's been a week now since I got this, and I've never had it before. And you start reading, you start reading when you're able to, when the room isn't spinning. You start reading about all this, and it's like, there's a lot of people that get this. Somebody said that it is one of the most commonly reported afflictions that doctors report from their patients. All this was going on, I had no idea. It makes me feel a little better, too, because I'm thinking to myself, what other thing, what other affliction, whatever malady can I pick up? It's been a rough couple of years in and out of the hospital. It's like, why me? Well, it turns out it's everybody. Today, by the way, being the first day of no daylight savings time, I was explaining to my daughter last night that the one in the spring, this one goofs you up. Obviously, you're sitting there, you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning going, I'm wide awake. I don't want to be. And then, of course, it gets dark at like 4:30 in the afternoon. Everybody loves that. And this day, and the one, especially the one in the spring, number one day on the calendar, according to the National Safety Council, for accidents. And not just car accidents. People falling down the stairs and walking through plate glass windows and just all sorts of stuff because you get thrown off. You get totally thrown off. But that one in the spring where you lose an hour of sleep, that's the one with problems. So you might want to watch it today. Be extra careful. And not just for yourself, but for the other guy. A lot of amazing sports stuff over the weekend. I was ready to turn the TV off when Tom Brady all of a sudden turned into Tom Brady. It took 59 minutes to win in the Chiefs game last night. Mizzou got screwed. I'm going to tell you something about that. I watched that replay over and over and over again, and there's no real tight shot of it. It's a wide shot. If you are a football fan, college football, you know what I'm talking about here in this game on Saturday against Kentucky. Yeah, and it's late in the game. There's only a couple of minutes left, and Kentucky's going to punt, and the snapper snaps the ball about 15 feet over the guy's head, and the punter goes running all the way back to the goal line, picks up the ball and goes, maybe I can still salvage this, and tries to punt. In the meantime, about a 275-pound linebacker has been pursuing the ball and the punter behind his back. You know, he's charging full head of steam, tackles the punter, and Mizzou ends up losing because the officials call a penalty. And I don't know. Like I said, I keep watching it over and over again. But I'll tell you this. Either it was a shitty call, or if that is the correct interpretation of the rule, then they need to change that rule because that's stupid. Huh? What's the guy supposed to do? His job, the linebacker for Mizzou, his job, special teams guy, is to tackle people with the ball, especially if they look vulnerable. I'm not talking about vulnerable as in a punter is completely fully extended with his leg and his foot way up in the air, and then you come in and put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. It's football, you know, blocking and tackling. Bears also got screwed late in their game yesterday, a non-call pass interference. But Justin Fields, quarterback for the Bears, set an NFL record yesterday, 178 yards rushing. The Packers lose to 1-6 Detroit. The Bills, and then, like I said, Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Bucks dropped 6 passes yesterday. Like I said, but he pulled it out. The baseball season is over. And it's very, very sad. First of all, it was a good series. Even, you know, Philadelphia was the heavy, heavy underdog. And they gave the Astros a pretty good run. Now, here's the thing. Almost all the players who were involved in the cheating scandal down in Houston are gone. It's almost a completely new roster. Yeah, Altuve's there and some other guys. But most of the guys are gone. Most of the front office people who were involved in it are gone. The coaches, all those guys are gone. And the thing about it is, I know all that, I still hate him. I still didn't want him to win. But it was nice for Dusty Baker, who by most accounts, even though he got into it with Tony La Russa many, many times when he was the manager of the Cubs, there were some great brawls. I was at one of those games where both benches emptied and La Russa and Dusty are yammering at each other from the dugouts. It's pretty cool, though. But what is Dusty, something like 73 now, and he finally gets a World Series ring after an entire lifetime in baseball? There's something nice about that, I guess. And since I've counted everything down in tomorrow's election day, maybe I should do a countdown of how many days it is until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida, which, by the way, today is 99 days. So maybe we should do that. But for me, it's the saddest thing when the baseball season ends, and I do count the days and the weeks, the months, until pitchers and catchers report. You remember how you felt in January when it was time for the winter warm-up. And then you're scraping the money together to see if you can put together a trip to Florida, down to Jupiter, to go catch a couple of the preseason games. And
hot dogs,
you get all excited
pizza,
about opening day.
And beer, screaming voices in my ear. I've been waiting since last year. Say hey, it's opening day.
God, the run-up and the excitement of opening day is the coolest thing in the world. And now we got 99 days to wait until the pitchers and catchers report down in Jupiter, Florida. All right. Now, I alluded to something a couple of moments ago, and I want to expand on it a little bit. I said, you know, tomorrow being the election, it's going to be a major lifestyle change for me, and here's the reason why. I've actually been thinking about this for a long time anyhow. Social media has turned into such poison. You could argue that, you know, maybe aside from the first year or two, when everybody's like, oh, look, you know, I can show off about what a nice house I have, or a swimming pool, or a car, or how proud I am of my kids in school. Look at this medal he won in soccer, whatever the case may be. Let's also remember that Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook as a way, back when it was still called the Facebook, when he was in college. And it was a way of rating women on campus, which shows you how creepy Mark Zuckerberg has always been. You know, he's not exactly an oil painting. He's not exactly Brad Pitt, but he is going to go running around campus rating the women. So right off the bat, a lot of people got problems with that, okay? And rightfully so. And then this guy on 60 Minutes last night, let me get his name right because this is pretty interesting. His name is Tristan Harris. Tristan Harris from the Center for Humane Technology. And he was on 60 Minutes last night talking about social media. And these are some really powerful sound bites here. And I don't think most people are so naive to think that somehow, obviously, when you see the value of Mark Zuckerberg's bank account, somebody's making money somewhere. But I guess people didn't realize it was quite this nefarious.
The better you are at innovating a new way to be divisive, we will pay you in more likes, followers, and retweets.
In his 2020 documentary, The Social Dilemma, Tristan Harris made the case that social media platforms have hijacked our attention. Now he cites a new study of Twitter showing that attacking political opponents is almost guaranteed to draw attention.
Each individual term referring to your political outgroup increase the odds of that post being retweeted or reshared by 67%.
Your outgroup being
your
opponents, people on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
These platforms, are they not just reflecting who we are and what we think and the divisions that are already there?
They're supercharging 100 or 1,000 times to one the worst parts of ourselves.
And Harris says anger skews the political landscape.
Why is it that the world knows more about Marjorie Taylor Greene than they know about all the other hundreds of congressional candidates? It's because the enraging, inflammatory stuff goes the most viral.
So he's talking a lot about Twitter there, but then they went over to TikTok.
It's owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. And Harris says the version that's served to Chinese consumers, called Douyin, is very different from the one available in the West.
In their version of TikTok, if you're under 14 years old, they show you science experiments you can do at home, museum exhibits, patriotism videos and educational videos. And they also limit it to only 40 minutes per day. Now, they don't ship that version of TikTok to the rest of the world. So it's almost like they recognize that technology is influencing kids' development, and they make their domestic version, a spinach version of TikTok, while they ship the opium version to the rest of the world.
And then, of course, there's the 240 million Facebook users.
Now, Facebook will tell you that they're all about transparency now. That's not convincing.
They publish reports that they define what the metrics are, and it's like grading your own homework.
And then they brought out a very attractive woman who's a PR person for Facebook, and she, of course, disavowed everything and just... that's her job, to show up and say it's not our fault, but it sort of is, which leads to the obvious question, well, what do we do about this? It brought up a very, very interesting comparison.
Tristan Harris says real change may have to be forced in court.
I think we have to do with social media what happened with Big Tobacco.
What stopped Big Tobacco was that the attorneys general in different states...
That's right.
...actually went after them.
The attorneys general in Big Tobacco had an enormous role to play in litigating that there was harms to people and their families.
Is that what it's going to take with...
I think that's what's going to take
social media companies?
Yes.
Now, at first blush, you're like, well, I don't know, that might be unconstitutional. But then the more you think about it, it's like, no, maybe that is the way to do it. This gets into this whole idea of the stigma involving mental health. You know, there's thousands of entities in the industry of health, but all of that is physical health. You know, you get into the idea of mental health, and then it's like, oh, can't talk about that. Can't talk about that's you're basically saying you're half nuts. Well, not really. Speaking of industries, the whole psychology, psychiatrist, you know, therapy, but people don't talk about that. You know, people will go and sit down, go meet for drinks after work. Okay, fine. They'll sit down and they'll go through excruciating detail about the medical procedure that they had to have, or the fact that, you know, the doctor says, I might have to have my knee replaced, or I got this toe. Look at this thing. You know, people will talk all day about stuff like that. But nobody sits there and says, yeah, when I was 9, I saw my mother kissing another man and it's fucked me up for my entire life. Well, actually, maybe they do talk about that. And you will hear people say, well, my therapist says this and this and this. But I think that's a real, real small number of people. Oh, and did you see once Elon Musk took over Twitter, use of the N-word is up 500 times the amount it was prior to Elon Musk saying, we're taking down the guardrails, go nuts. So before I get into this whole idea of the major lifestyle change that is coming for me, if I stick to it, it's like a diet or New Year's resolution or anything like that. But I really do think that starting, you know, probably the tail end of this week, I don't know about you, but I've pretty much had it. So I'll get to that in a minute. Let's first of all deal with the Republican Party. Now, about a week or so ago, I predicted that the presidential candidate for the Republican Party is going to be Mike Pompeo. Now I'm starting to question my own prediction, and I think that it might be Glenn Youngkin, who is the governor of Virginia. And he was on with Jonathan Carl on ABC yesterday morning on Stephanopoulos. And Carl was really pressing him on this whole idea of, well, the election is on Tuesday, and you're presenting this whole thing about the usual Republican stuff about open market and pro-business, strong defense, immigration policy, all that sort of stuff. But while that's going on, you have all these candidates all over the place, election deniers still refusing to accept Joe Biden as our current president, and going so far as to say, oh boy, first thing we're going to do after we get this slaughtering of the Democratic Party over with on Tuesday, we're going to start indicting the crap out of everybody, and we're going to impeach Joe Biden.
On top of that, our democracy is better when our Congress exercises its responsibility for oversight, and they can also deliver answers. I think voters are going to make a statement on Tuesday, and they want their elected leaders to deliver results.
What about all this impeachment talk? I mean, I've gone through, I can count at least three members of the Biden cabinet that Republicans have talked about impeaching. And obviously, there have already been impeachment resolutions introduced, many of them, for Biden himself. Would that be a mistake for Republicans to go in?
Again, I believe strongly that our democracy is better when our Congress exercises its oversight functions.
Impeachment?
The reality of this is that Virginians are going to vote for congressional representatives, and I think that we're going to see a number of seats flip, and they want them to go to work to deliver.
But let me press you on that, though. I mean, common sense, kitchen table issues, that's what you've been talking about. Is that what voters have in mind, impeaching, an impeachment of Joe Biden? Because, I mean, I'm hearing that a lot.
Well, I don't know if
would
Congress...
Would that be a mistake, is all I'm asking.
Listen,
would that be a mistake to go into...
I can't speculate on what they're going to do, but what I can tell you
what
is...
What they should do is what I'm asking.
Is
you.
They have done... Well, I'm a governor.
I know, but you're campaigning
I'm a governor in Virginia, and my job as governor in Virginia is to deliver for Virginia.
Yeah. Here's the thing I really want to play for you, because this one jumped right out at me, but I think for 99.9% of the audience, it flew right under the radar. But you got to listen to this very closely. If I were a Republican, I think I would really like Chris Christie. And even as a non-Republican, I still like Chris Christie. Oh, yeah, he's as full of shit as any other politician. But the guy was just born to be a politician. And he's got his chops. You know, he was a prosecutor. He's a lawyer, governor, the whole thing. Yeah, he had his couple of scandals and, you know, retaliatory things. And we all know about that. But, you know, when he's just sitting there talking about politics, he really has the ability to cut through the clouds and the fog and the pollution and the whole thing, swat his hand around and clear it out and get the message delivered, which is something that the Democrats still have not figured out how to do. So Donna Brazil, I like her too, really pounding on that drum, delivering that message that the Democrats have really amped up in the last week. And Joe Biden was doing it on the weekend too. Obama was doing it over the weekend too, and all those rallies and speeches. And that is that this isn't just a midterm election. That literally, and people misuse the term literally all the time. I literally had a heart attack. No, you didn't, because if you didn't have a heart attack, you didn't literally have one. So people always misuse this. But in this particular case, I think they're right, because they are saying it is literally a case of democracy being on the ballot. And Donna Brazil was pushing that, and Chris Christie wasn't having it. But listen carefully.
We also got to talk about democracy itself.
Is that the right strategy, Chris Christie?
No, and they're going to lose. I mean, look, when you don't have anything to say about the issues that the people care most about, what you try to do is set a fire someplace else and distract them. But it's not working, and it won't work. The fact is, when people go into a supermarket...
But talk about that. People do care about democracy. They
do. I didn't say that. Look, they don't care as much as they care about the other things, and all the polling shows that.
Whoa. Did you catch that? Here it is again.
People do care about democracy. They do.
I didn't say that. Look, they don't care as much as they care about the other things.
They don't care as much about democracy as they do about the other things. That's just unbelievable that he even thought that, let alone said it on national TV. If you don't have democracy, what do you have? You don't have America anymore.
They don't care as much as they care about the other things.
Wow. All right, I need some comic relief. Can we go over to Saturday Night Live?
Next account. Oh, my God. Hello.
That's right, it's me, Donald John Trump. Just John, not Jonathan. But I know many Jonathans, and I respect all of them, but none more than JTD himself, Jonathan De La Damas, who is a personal friend of mine. You know, I saw him on Home Improvement. I said, that kid's going to be a star. And he was for a very brief time. But JTD wasn't very nice to Chevy Chase, Man of the House, was he? And many are saying, Chevy, not very nice on set of Community. Won't be back for reboot. Can you believe that?
Sure. But why do you want to be back on Twitter? I mean, didn't you start your own social media website?
Excuse me. Yes, we've all moved to True Social, and we love True Social. It's very great, and in many ways also terrible. It's very bad. Very, very bad. It's a little buggy in terms of making the phone screen crack and the automatically draining of the Venmo. Ray, let me back on Twitter. I'll do another Covivi. I won't do anything bad except maybe coup.
That is that James Austin Johnson. Man, is that guy talented. He does Biden too, but his Trump is amazing. All right, over to Weekend Update.
Tomorrow is the New York City Marathon, or as Fox News will report it, undocumented Africans won wild in streets of New York.
China has launched the third and final module for its permanent space station. Now all they have to do is launch some children to assemble it.
An Arizona woman was arrested after she allegedly went day drinking while her 5-month-old child was sitting home alone, like a loser.
New York City is now requiring employers to disclose salary ranges in all job listings. Employers must list everything ranging from the top salary all the way down to the female salary.
And finally, Bill Maher.
But this is the time where they call the closing arguments at the party. The Democrats' closing argument seems to be vote for the Democrats or else we'll lose democracy. And the Republican closing argument seems to be vote Republican or we will hit your husband in the head with a hammer.
So anyhow, here's the thing. I don't know how bad it's going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be bad for the Democratic side. Think about what is going to happen. You're going to have a lot more Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have hundreds of election deniers who are running, and a lot of them are going to win. Herschel Walker in Georgia is a joke. Even the black people in Georgia are saying he's a joke, but it's a power grab. It's all about controlling the Senate, and the Republicans probably need Georgia to be able to do it. The abortion issue. A month ago, it looked like it was going to be a major driving force in the way people were going to vote. The January 6th committee hearings seem to not have even produced a speed bump. There's blatant racism. A lot of Trump followers don't even bother trying to camouflage it anymore. They just come right out and say it. The Republicans are saying, well, we're thinking about cutting Medicare and Social Security. And people are like, yeah, come on, here, take it. Here it is. Shall I write you a check? Again, they're coming right out and saying it. People are going to be voting against their own best interests. You know, the economy. Okay, yeah, the economy stinks, but it's actually not as bad as you think if you look at a lot of the numbers. But it is a worldwide problem. All you have to do is look at the inflation rate. We're one of the lowest rates of inflation in the industrialized nations. Then you got this creep in Florida, this Ron DeSantis, who, you know, let me just tell you something. Did you see that piece on 60 Minutes last night? They're showing these people that had to walk through seven Latin countries. Seven! And they end up at the border, Mexico and Texas. They end up at the border down there, and it's like, well, here we are. And there hasn't been like a major immigration policy put together that makes sense, something bipartisan that makes sense, in decades. And let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that Ron DeSantis putting planes of people together and then sending them to places like Martha's Vineyard, New York City, and stuff like that. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that the Republicans and DeSantis are right, and that these immigrants can't be just ushered into the country. Okay, but these families of people who have been separated with little kids, they're walking along and they're watching dead bodies strewn for hundreds of miles on the way north. And these kids are going to be damaged psychologically for life. These kids are going to grow up to be adults. And like I said, let's just say DeSantis is right. The Republicans are right. Why? Man's inhumanity to man just never ceases to amaze me. You just don't do this to little kids who are clearly terrified. No food, no water. The one kid said, my mom almost drowned crossing the river. And Anderson Cooper is like, and you watch that? And he's like, yeah. And so what's going to happen tomorrow is that... Well, put it this way. Most people in this country watch politics the way a 17-year-old girl watches a baseball game on a Saturday night at Busch Stadium. You know, she knows who's playing. And I don't mean to pick up on 17-year-old girls. I'm just using this as an illustration. But you know who's playing. You might not even really know what the score is because you've been sitting talking to your friends and looking at the cute guy in the next aisle. And so you're there and you're watching, but you're watching sort of. But all the intricacies about the pitcher, you know, going in, out, up and down. What's the next pitch going to be? That was on the black. What are they going to do? Are they going to bunt here? All of that's, they're not aware of any of that. And that's what's going on here, I think. How else could Jay Leno do the jaywalking thing where he's asking people just general questions about American politics? You know, because Jimmy Kimmel's doing it now too. And they ask such basic, easy questions about politics, and these people are clueless, absolutely clueless. I've said it a million times. I don't know who first said it, but it is the truth. We get the government we deserve. So it's going to be a big lifestyle change for me because once this is over this week, I'm pulling out. No more politics for me for a while. I'm, on a normal day around here, I've got CNN, MSNBC, a little bit of Fox, not much. I just can't take people completely just making shit up. I like this News Nation thing that is on. And also the network news. I watch all the network news shows. So I see all that stuff, and that's all going to come to an end. You know, I'll find out what's going on in the world, particularly with politics, when I watch that little 22 minutes of information, the snapshot of this nation, every evening at 5:30. And I'll get a lot of it on the Daily Show and on the monologues late at night, but I am absolutely not going to subject myself to this stuff. Pulling way, way back on social media. Well, I'm completely back on social media right now because I'm still in jail. But it's just, there's just too much information out there that has rattled me now to the point where I realize what this stuff is. So I'm pulling way back on any even knowledge of politics, let alone. And I was the kid in high school as a freshman who was always called on when there was some sort of issue with regard to politics because all the teachers knew that I watched the news all the time. Now, while I went on the air on KSHE in 1984, because that's what people heard me do on radio for 30 some odd years, that's what people just assumed that I was. I got a journalism background. I was on television for 16 years, and I had to follow all of the journalistic policies that anybody else has to follow in a television newsroom. But like a lot of things, it's like when you're watching Saturday Night Live and all of a sudden Christopher Walken starts dancing and he's really, really good. And you're like, I didn't know you could dance. It's like, yeah, well, you know, nobody ever asked and I never really had an opportunity to do it. So here I am on Saturday Night Live. So now I'm dancing and look at this. I'm really good. And that's sort of how I feel. It's just because this one aspect of what I'm doing, these crazy ass morning shows, that's what you heard. So that's what you assumed was the limit of my capacity as a broadcaster. It's very frustrating. So I've been doing this since I was in my middle teens, and it's a dead end. It's a dead fucking end. And so I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to listen to some music. I'm going to watch some movies that I haven't seen in a long time. I'm going to get out and get some fucking fresh air. But I'm not going to subject myself to, you know, 16 hours of this stuff a day. It's ruining me. And I suspect it's ruining a lot of people. Besides, you know, things are serious in this country when Nate Silver, the 538.com guy, shows up on Stephanopoulos yesterday wearing a suit. He's not wearing his Detroit Tigers baseball hat. Things must be bad. So tomorrow is going to be, it's going to be basically a comedy show because I'm pulling a plug out of the wall. But before I do, we're just going to play a bunch of this stuff. It is heresy. It is contradictory stuff, double standards, double talk, lies. So we're going to take the funny side of it tomorrow, and that's going to be part of my detox. And unfortunately, you're going to have to go through it with me if you listen to the podcast every day. But I'm telling you, the show tomorrow is a fucking scream. Don't miss this tomorrow, okay? I got a lot of stuff about this guy, Mattress Mack, down in Houston, who won $75 million by betting on the Astros. Got Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff. Joni Mitchell is 79 today. Pick up a copy of the Blue album by Joni Mitchell. It'll change your life if you haven't already discovered it. Better late than never. Got Monday Night Football tonight on ESPN. Saints hosting Baltimore. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Ryan Reynolds and Jen Psaki. Dana Carvey, I'm with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got John Oliver, and also a performance by the Broadway cast of The Lion King. Colbert is live tomorrow night, by the way, and Seth Meyers has Gail King. I'll talk about the Amy Schumer thing on Wednesday when we come back. She was really, really good on Saturday Night Live in the face of something just awful that was going on behind the scenes. So we'll get to all that on Wednesday. The big Election Day special here at JCOnTheLine.com is tomorrow. You have yourself a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.